I want to start a series this morning. We're just going to very simply call The Missing Piece. Now, when we were having Thanksgiving, we were all together, and we did a lot of laying around and talking and watching the World Cup and the Cowboys and eating way too much food. But in the middle of all that, somebody in the family pulled out one of those big 1,000-piece puzzles, you know. And I avoid those like the plague. I just tried not to make eye contact so nobody would say, help us. But they worked so hard for hours and hours one day putting together this giant puzzle. And they got it, the whole thing, every piece, got it all put together. And then it was time to eat dinner. And somebody said, we should get a board. And somebody said, that's not the way it works. You take it apart and you put it back in the box. And I saw one person's face like, I've just made a masterpiece and now you're going to make me take it apart. There was no question about it. It had to be taken apart. It was put back in the box, slid on the shelf till probably next year about this time. And a couple hours later, somebody else in the family was doing some sweeping. And they're sweeping under the table. And, you know, there's bits of turkey and bits of pecan pie and everything. You know, they're getting it all up. And they go, they reach down and they pull one piece of this puzzle out. And with a gasp, somebody who that had helped with the puzzle just said, oh no, as if the world had ended. And they immediately took the piece of puzzle, ran it over to the box, stuck it back in the box, so that next year somebody wouldn't unbeknowingly open that box and start and get 999 pieces put together and one piece would be missing. Now, I don't know what your life looks like, but I'm going to guess that you would say, I feel like I got most of the pieces of my life together, but there's this one piece. It's kind of elusive. It always seems to be hiding out under the table somewhere. I think that things are going great, and then there's that one little thing that I just can't seem to find or can't get in place. And that's what this series is going to be about, helping us understand what peace is. For some of us, the one missing piece is peace. That we don't have it. We got other stuff going on in our lives, but we don't have that one thing. So if I could tell you, if I could give you one wish this morning, one thing that you could say, I wish to have this piece of my life put back together, there would be a million different answers. We would say stuff like, if I could just have money, if I could get a good career, if I could just be finally physically fit, you know, or maybe if I had a happy marriage, or if the kids were healthy, or I just want to be happy. And some of you would be smart Alex and say, I wish for more wishes, and that's illegal. You can't do that. If you just had one thing, what is that thing? For a lot of people in this room and watching online, for a lot of people, it would be one simple thing. I just want some peace in my life. I'm tired of the worry, I'm tired of the anxiety, I'm tired of being anxious, I'm tired of the fear, and it's probably not something you say out loud a whole lot. It's probably not something you push in a conversation with people you don't know very well. It's probably something you sort of carry quietly, if it's you, and you're wondering, how am I going to do this, how am I going to change this, how am I going to fix this? We're going to look at what the Bible says. I don't have any advice for you, but let's see what the Bible says. So I want to start with two scriptures, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This is when Jesus is going to be born, and the angels go out and tell the shepherds. The beautiful part of this story is they go out and they find the working class guys that nobody really liked, and they tell them first. They go out there and they start to talk to the shepherds, and the angels say these words, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. We've heard that those words so many times. God gives, when Jesus was coming, he was bringing peace on earth. Now, we know he wasn't talking about there would never be any war. He was talking about peace on earth in your heart and my heart. So that we could have some peace along the way, some joy along the way, and not be caught up in everything that the world's throwing at you. Because the world is throwing all kinds of stuff at you. There is no way to look at the news tonight or look at your Instagram feed or anywhere around you and have any peace without the work of God in our lives. In 2 Peter 1, it says this, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said, grace and peace. He said, I want you to have some peace along the way. I want you to experience peace. I want you to relax a little bit. Grace and peace. Now, I would say this morning that there are a lot of us who are searching for something, but we don't really know what we're searching for. And I would say that probably the thing we're searching for the most is peace, and we haven't named it that. We haven't given it the right name. We're still thinking we're searching for the next job, and we think that that's going to give us the peace we're looking for. If I can ever get this situation reconciled with this person in my life, then I can finally have some peace. We wait for circumstances to change so that we can have some peace. And as we're going to learn from Scripture this morning, our circumstances have nothing to do with our peace. There are people right now that are facing horrible circumstances, and when you speak to them, you get a sense of peace in their life that you don't even have, and their circumstances are worse than yours. Those people that are just walking in the peace of God, and we sometimes can't understand it because we think it's about our circumstances. Peace is from heaven. It's not from earth. Peace is a work of God in your life and mine. Divine peace is what God gives us. Money can't give it to us. It can give it to us temporarily. You come into a little bit of money or a lot of money, and for a few days you feel like, wow, this is going to be great. Finally, whoo, I can breathe. But it's temporary peace. Because there's always something reaching for that money. There's always somewhere. Or you worked hard to save some money, and your 401k was starting to grow a little bit, and you're feeling good about it. And then about January of this year, you looked, and you're like, what in the world happened? And then in April, you looked again, and you're like, my Lord, I worked so hard for that. Where did it go? If we put our peace, if our peace depends on money or home, then we're not going to get to enjoy it very long. You can have peace when the circumstances are not perfect. You can even be married and not have peace in your home. Don't look at her right now. Don't nod too big. There'd be longer time without you having any peace. He might not get it. You might not. She might not get it. That there's no peace in the house. And God is working and helping us, but in the moment right now, God wants us to live in peace. He doesn't want us living in fear and anxiety today. He wants us walking in His grace and His peace. I would argue that what a lot of people want, what they need, is peace, but they're searching for other stuff. Think about relationships in your life and friendships in your life that are strained a little bit, and you just want harmony. You just want some peace in those situations. Or there's misunderstandings and you just want it to be reconciled so there can be some peace. Or maybe there's some bitterness there and you haven't been able to deal with that or willing to deal with that yet. I think the thing we're looking for is peace this morning. God's wanting to work in our lives. So before we read any more scripture, I just want to take a minute right here and we're just going to pray. I want to pray for God to do a work in us today. That there would be a peace that we have never experienced before in our lives going into the holidays. Father, I thank you for what you've done already, but Lord, I know you've got good things in mind. God, you've got plans, you've got for good in our life. And Lord, for the person right now that is struggling, who is dealing with anxiety on a level they never dreamed they would deal with, Lord, today we speak peace into that person's life. Lord, we speak peace, not worldly peace, not temporary peace, not peace that comes from things that are happening around us. But Lord, we speak the peace of God into the lives of everybody that's involved with this morning. Lord, in the room or online, God, we ask you to move right now. Lord, I pray that this would be one of those moments that we look back on and we go, that's when things started to change. That was the moment when we share this testimony later that we would recognize this moment as a changing moment in our life. And God, we ask you to touch us right now and help us to receive your word, not my words, your word, Lord, and let it change us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just look at somebody and say, peace. Peace. In Isaiah 26, it's a beautiful scripture that we have quoted many times and probably don't even know the context of. It was a season of fear and unsettledness for Isaiah the prophet, and he prophesied a time was coming that there would be unbridled worship, that the people of God would worship God just almost in an uncontrollable manner. And he says to God in Isaiah 26:3, he's talking to God, you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He says, God, you are the one that's going to keep us in perfect peace. And he wasn't saying you're going to fix all of our circumstances. Now, we believe God answers prayers, and we've had miracles even recently around here that we're going to hopefully get to share more in the coming weeks. God has just answered some tremendous prayers. But even in the times when we don't know if he's going to give us what we're asking for, what we want, it says he will keep us in perfect peace if we trust him and if we keep our thoughts fixed on him. Isaiah's promise was, God, you'll keep us in perfect peace. It was a promise from God. That word peace is very simple. And I want to show you the definition of this in Hebrew. The word peace is shalom. It's a Jewish greeting. It's when two Jewish people would meet each other and they would say shalom. And this is what they meant, wholeness or completeness or fullness of peace. They were saying, in an essence, I'm just praying that God's wholeness, God's completeness, that God's fullness of peace would be on you. That you would be whole, that you wouldn't be pretty good shape, but one piece missing. It was saying, I want God to make you whole. I want you to walk in the wholeness of God, and we get the wholeness of God when we're in God's presence. The presence of God, when we're in the presence of others, when we are all alone in our circumstances, the peace of God makes us whole, that we don't have to worry and be afraid. But the beautiful part of this scripture is it says he will keep you in perfect peace, which is really just this same word, shalom, being repeated twice. He said, God, you will give us shalom, shalom. You'll give us perfect peace. You'll give us a double portion of peace. Not just a little part of our life to have peace and contentment and freedom from anxiety. But Lord, you are going to give us a double portion of peace. Now listen, a double portion of peace is worth more than a double portion of money any day. You can be loaded with cash and be overcome with fear. You can be loaded with bank accounts and be overcome with anxiety. But when the double portion, the perfect peace, is on our lives, we get to walk in his presence every day. No matter what our circumstances, we're not moved. We're what the psalmist called a tree standing by the water. He said, he's just solid. That tree's been there for ages. It's not going anywhere. When you look at me and when I look at you, what we hope to see are people who are so secure in their relationship with God that when trouble comes flying at them, when trouble comes flying at you, and you just go, I don't really understand it, but I'm okay. I've had this conversation so many times over the years where it seems like someone's life is just falling apart. And I say, you seem like you're doing okay. And they say, I know, weird, huh? I don't know. I should be crying every day of my life, but I'm okay. It's that double portion of peace. It's that perfect peace that God places in our lives. You say, well, that's not me. Well, then these scriptures are for you. I get it. I understand the struggle here. Peace doesn't mean no trouble. Peace doesn't mean no problems. Peace doesn't mean that nothing ever breaks at your house. Peace doesn't mean that the kids are going to always love each other and never fight. Peace does not mean that the car will always be full of gas. Peace does not mean that all the dishes will always be clean. That's not what it means. peace, take a look at the screen. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. It's not about, amen, it's not about the absence of problems. You wouldn't need peace if you didn't have any problems. You'd be like, I'm just good. I just made so many good decisions. My life is great. We get arrogant, then God would have to humble us, and that's no fun. But we all know we got problems, and we all know stuff is out of our control, and we're looking for peace. And it's not about God changing all the circumstances. If God can't give you peace in the circumstances you're in right now, you're probably not going to find peace in the better circumstances you experience later. If I'm not accepting of it now, I probably won't receive it later. Peace is God's presence in our lives. It can be missing. And when we look at the whole picture of our life, we go, but yeah, but if I just had just peace, that's what I'm looking for. The battle for peace begins in your mind. It begins in my mind. Anybody have that war going on? There's just this battle. There's been books, many books written about this. A battlefield of the mind. It's something we're all working through. Isaiah, going back to Isaiah 26, he said this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Notice what Isaiah does not say. He does not say, you will have perfect peace if you focus on what CNN and Fox News is telling you. I'm going to let that one hang just a second. You will not have peace just by looking at what's happening in the world. I can't even have peace by looking at what's happening in my own life, the stuff I can't control. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He says, though, if you want this perfect peace, you have to fix your thoughts, your mind on God. Here's another definition for you. Fixed. That's a Hebrew word, samak. To lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. I want you, if you know the person beside you, just lean on them real quick. Just lean on them. You remember Bubba from Forrest Gump? He sat down and he said, Forrest, I'm just going to lean on you and you just lean right back on me. That's the picture. That's the picture. To lean on completely. But most of the time, some of you control freaks out there, You say, well, I'm going to have to trust you on this, and I can't be here every minute, so I'm going to trust you. And you're lying because you're not going to trust him. You're still going to control it. You're going to be on the phone. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do the other thing? Did you? And you're wondering why you have no peace. You won't even lean on anybody in your life and certainly haven't learned to lean on God. It says to lean on completely. If you want that double portion of peace, you got to learn to lean on God completely. I mean, all your weight. To the point that you're like, I'm, if you move, I'm down. God, if you move, the whole thing is crashing. That's when we get peace. Because some of us are trying to be that in our lives. I'm trying to be the thing that doesn't move, but I'm not designed to handle that weight. God is the one who can handle the weight. To fully rest oneself. There's two things, right? You got to lean on completely. Put your weight on him and then just fully rest yourself. Just take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. See, sometimes we are so trying so hard to fix it on our own that we don't even give God a chance. God's like, here, I got it. I got some answers if you'll let me. And you're like, wait, just hold on. I almost got it. God's like, yeah, but if you'll just pray, I almost got it figured out. I got my spreadsheet. I'm going to make 27 calls tomorrow. And every sentence starts with I. This is what I'm going to do. And God said, you're going to have to lean on me. This is about what I can do, not what you can do. Because you can't see the future, neither can I. But God's already there, waiting and working and answering in our lives. So I want to ask this question. What's right now, what is your mind fixed on? What are you fixed on? What are you leaning on? What is the thing that is consuming your thoughts right now? Don't look at anybody else and don't say, well, I'll think about it later. Do it right now. What is the thing? What are you focused on? Is it financial worries? Is it political divisions? What's other stuff is going wrong in your life? What could go wrong in your life? The stuff you don't like, the stuff you dread. What is the thing that drains the most joy out of your life? You ever see somebody at a fast food restaurant and you're just like, I just want a glass of sweet tea. And you see them over there and they're like, they've been over there 5 minutes. It's like drip, 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 drip. And you could help them and you could say, just lean it over a little bit. But you're like, I want a glass too. So I'm not going to tell them. And we're over there waiting on something that's supposed to happen. Some of us are living our lives the same way. We're just over here waiting on that same thing, just hoping that we get the thing we want. And God is saying, I'm trying to work in your life and I need you to be focused on me and I need you to listen to me. I want to help you grow. I want to be there with you and for you, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to lean on me. You're going to have to focus in on the things I want you to focus on. Philippians 4:8 says this, and now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. I love this. When the Apostle Paul says, I got one last thing to say, you really need to pay attention to what he says. You remember when you were younger and you were about to leave the house and your mom or your dad said, hey, one more thing. You almost get the idea that Paul is doing that. Hey, this is the real thing I want you to get. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Let me read that list again. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. There's peace to be had. But we got to focus on him. We got to lean in on him. God wants to work in our lives. When we're lost, he's our guide. When we're weak, he's our strength. When we're hurting, he's our comforter. He's the one that has all the answers. And we just got to focus in on him. We just got to focus in on letting him do his work in our lives. I love the story in John chapter 14. Jesus is just getting ready to leave earth. He is about to be crucified. He's about to be buried. He's about to rise from the dead, and he's about to ascend back to heaven. And he's telling his disciples, and some of them were not good at leaning on him. He starts to tell them, hey, this is what's about to happen. And some of them even start trying to correct him, like saying, no, we're not going to let that happen. And Jesus is like, Jesus didn't say this, but I almost hear him saying, shut up and listen. I got something to tell you, and you need to hear this. It's almost like Paul said, there's one last thing. You need to know this stuff. And in John chapter 14, he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Look what he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He didn't say, I'm giving you a peace. He didn't say, I'm giving you some peace. He said, I'm giving you my peace. He said, this is what I have. I'm giving it straight from me to you. I want you to have this. In all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's the story or the account of the disciples on the boat with Jesus, and Jesus is taking a nap in the bottom of the boat, and a storm rolls in. And they all get nervous and afraid, and they start panicking, acting all crazy. And finally, Jesus wakes up, and Jesus just speaks to the storm. He just says, peace be still. And the Bible says the winds and the waves and all of it just calm down. And here these guys are floating around on a flat sea. I mean, they're just amazed. Some of them say things like, what manner of man is this? Talking about Jesus. They're like, who in the world is he? And Jesus starts, he uses it as a teaching moment. And there are moments in your life and mine where Jesus speaks peace into our lives, but we got to cooperate with him and lean on him and let him do it his way. We got to trust him. When we lean in, we got to trust that he's not going anywhere. But here's the beautiful part of this. You can't give what you don't have. Jesus can give peace because he is the author of peace. He's the creator of peace. He can give us peace because it's his to start with. A bank account will never give you peace because there's no peace in that bank account. A new house will never give us peace because the house doesn't own any peace. It doesn't create peace. It only comes from Jesus. When the disciples and Jesus were out there on the waves and in the middle of the storm, and Jesus speaks to the storm, and it calms down. There were two storms really going on. One was on the outside, and that's the one that could be seen. That was the wind and the waves and the rain. We know what that feels like, right? We get that. That was the outside storm. But then there's this inside storm going on that is destroying their peace. It's a tornado that is destroying them on the inside. They're walking in fear and anxiety like they had never done before. And yet the peace speaker, the one who could offer them peace, was asleep in the boat. He was so cool and calm about it because he knew he was in charge. God's asking us to trust him. God's asking us to lean on him. Peace be still. That's what he says to us. Philippians 4 and 6 says this. Don't worry about anything. Now listen, can we stop there? I just want you to look at somebody and with a straight face say these words. Don't worry about it. There are people in the room, they're like, but worrying is my spiritual gift. I'm so good at it. How many of us have said, I'm the worry wart in my family? You're like, yeah, I've never seen a pretty wart. All right, it's not a compliment. All right. Some of us pride ourselves on being the rock in our family. And that's great, but every rock eventually cracks. And then the whole family's like, what in the world? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? They've always been so strong. They've always been so stupid. All right. They've been trying to do it on their own. They've been trying to do it on their own and carry the whole family for so long. And it's exhausting. We all thought we could lean on them. I'm in trouble. Let me call mama. I'm in trouble. Let me call dad. I'm in trouble. Let me call whoever. And we thought that it was about them. And we leaned on them when we should have been learning to lean on God in the process. God wants to work in your life and mine. He says to us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Job interviews and bills and family and crazy family and everything. Pray about everything. When is the last time you knelt down and just ugly face prayed and said, God, I cannot, I got nothing, Lord. I got nothing. I can't do this. It says in the next sentence, tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you love in Christ Jesus. The peace of God can be the guard at the door of your heart. That's the picture we get. That's what Paul wants us to see. Paul is actually writing this. He has been imprisoned when he writes this. I can almost see him looking over at that guard at the door saying, you know what? That's how the peace of God works. Just guards the door, doesn't let anything in or out that's not supposed to go in and out. And he just flipped the script on him and made it a positive. He said it's the peace of God in the life of a believer that guards the door of the heart. And you can have so much peace that you don't even know why. You find yourself walking in those circumstances that you don't like, but God is faithful and gives you peace along the way. Look at the screen. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. You're going to always have problems. That's a terrible way to end a message, isn't it? Get ready. There's going to always be problems. You live on planet Earth. If we were living in heaven, we would never want, we would never look for anything more. But we're not living in heaven. Heaven is in our future. If you're a believer in Christ, heaven is waiting out there one day. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to sing so many songs about heaven. Just beautiful old hymns about heaven. And it was really saying, when this life is over, we got so much more waiting for it. The people who wrote those songs and sung those songs decades and decades ago were dealing with hard times. And they were like, this is not the end. This is not the end of this. There's more. So I'm going to have to trust God in this life because I know heaven is coming. I want peace in this life. The Bible says it, that God wants to give us life and life more abundantly here on earth. He wants to work in our lives right here, but heaven is the goal. It's easy to say, well, that's so far away. It's not that far. Within 100 years, everybody in this room is going to be in eternity somewhere. The goal is heaven. Even in that, I have to lean on Him. I have to have peace on Christ for my eternal future. But He wants to help me right now in the things I'm going through, what I'm facing, and the decisions I have to make right now. He wants me to walk in peace. I believe that God can give such peace in your life that tomorrow when you walk in the lion's den, I mean your job, that you go, I'm good. God's on my side. Peace is guarding the door. Not that you don't care, but that peace will supersede the circumstances that are happening around you right there. Because it's not about the problems. That can't steal our peace. We find peace in the presence of God. We walk in His presence. Let Him speak to us. Let Him change us. Help us to grow. Can you stand with me? Amen. Can we just stand in His presence for a minute? Lord, we love You. Just honor Him in your own way right now. Father, we thank You, God, for everything, all the blessings. You've been so good to us. We just want You to have Your way in us today. We just thank You, God. We just give You praise right now, Lord. We just give You praise right now, Lord. Lord, right now, we claim that peace. That peace that passes all of our understanding, that double portion of peace in our lives that we can't have by our own hand. Lord, it's got to be the hand of God. You're the one that has to do that in our lives. We can't think enough positive thoughts to get us that peace. Lord, we're going to have to learn to lean on You to fix our eyes, to fix our lives on You. We need Your help with that today. We ask for it. We thank You, God, for what You're doing right now. We thank You for working in our circumstances. And we know, God, that You're answering. And, Lord, You've been answering so many beautiful prayers this week, giving us so many wonderful answers. You've just been answering miraculously. And we thank You for that. But Lord, even in the middle of circumstances that we do not like, you have given us peace. And we claim it today. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise right now. Amen. You just give me just a minute. I want to speak to every person in the room right now that is struggling with anxiety, worry, fear, whatever name you want to give it, whatever you want to call it. But it's taking your peace away. And you find yourself being short with your family. Your fuse is a little shorter. You say things, you find yourself feeling like you need to say I'm sorry a lot more. But there's some struggle going on. The scripture we just read said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You got to grow. You got to learn new ways of handling things. But the miraculous part of this is that God wants to work right now. That God wants to work right now. He wants to begin the process right now. Deliverance, we've said it a million times around here, deliverance is an event followed by a process. God gives you that moment where you see the hand of God working, and then you have to start walking out that deliverance. And I believe right now for some people in this room and watching online, this is that moment for you where you go, okay, this is the moment. I'm going to quit calling myself a worry wart. I'm gonna learn how. I'm gonna start growing. I know God's gonna help me. I'm gonna stop being so agitated with the people in my life. I'm gonna stop losing my mind when circumstances aren't exactly the way I want them. I'm gonna let God do His work in me. I'm gonna fix my eyes. I'm gonna fix my life on Him so that He can speak that double portion into my life and start this process. I think this is the moment for somebody here this morning. The moment where God shows up and does the miraculous. You'll never be able to say, when somebody says, you're different than you used to be, you'll never be able to say, well, I changed this and I did that and I did some other stuff. You're going to have to say, yeah, God's good. Look what God did in my life. There's not going to be an arrogant moment where you go, yeah, I changed it. I fixed it. It's going to be a humble moment where you go, thank you, Lord, for showing up and working. We're going to speak that peace right now in prayer and ask God to do whatever it is He wants to do in our lives. Father, we thank you right now for what's coming. God, we thank you, Lord. You have been so good to us. Some of our circumstances are not what we would like right now, but God, we know that in the middle of difficult circumstances, you are still faithful, that your peace is still at work. And right now, God, to every person in the room that is overcome with fear, that is constantly dealing with anxiety, that is wishing for something different, and they know there's that missing piece, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace over that person. Lord, we speak peace over their mind and their heart. And God, we are asking you to show up. Lord, this is not a positive thinking moment. This is a moment where we are asking you, Holy Spirit, to work in our lives, to change us, so that we can start to walk with joy that we've never had before. And we can trust you, even when our circumstances are not perfect. Lord, today we pray for that event that is followed by a process, that deliverance, that we start walking this freedom out every single day. And God, we give you praise. Lord, if there are relationships that are strained because of this, we pray for healing. Healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We claim healing, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are the one that heals relationships, and you are the one that works when we can't even see what to do. And we just give you praise right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. 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 There's about a million Christmas songs that have the word peace in them. So as we start, I mean, some places have been playing Christmas music since Halloween, all right? I get it. But as you're going about your Christmas stuff this year, and you're in stores and in the office and wherever, I challenge you just to listen for that word peace. And don't take it in the same sense that Rudolph and Santa Claus are bringing it. Remember that it comes from Him. And just take a moment. Just take a moment. Even if you're not feeling it yet, take a moment when you hear that song, whichever one it is. And you say, thank you, Lord. I know that peace is coming. I know it's coming. Father, bless us as we go. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you.